The last systematic theology class I taught, I believe I was in Fish Lake Valley, which is just the other day, on Sunday morning. We talked about the Trinity. The Trinity. Now, you have set in a couple of the classes on the Trinity, I think. What is the most outstanding thing you've learned about the Trinity, Brother Roger?
What's helped me is to think of it as triune, because I always vacillated on how to understand it.
Yes, it's hard. Sharon?
I think it's the same thing as the unity. It's one.
Yes.
It's one.
Ahad. Yeah, one. Marilyn?
Yes, that's my name. What did you say?
What is the most important thing you've learned about the Trinity?
Well, the whole purpose of God's plan, has come from eternity to the future eternity.
Okay. The plan of God, and that leads us right into what we're talking about today, God's eternal purpose. And the period of time that we're studying today is not in space and time. I want you to understand that. We're not talking about the history of the world. This is before the history of the world. Before anything was created. We're talking about eternity past when only God existed. Now, say this with me. N-R-K.
N-R-K.
Ein ho logos.
Kai
hologos, ein, pros, ton, theon. Kai theos, ein hologos. Now, what it says is in beginning, singular beginning. The oldest Bible in proportion to space and time, actually beyond space and time, the oldest statement in the Bible is John 1 and 1. It says, in beginning, singular. This is when nothing else existed. Bereshith in the book of Genesis 1 and 1 says, in one of the beginnings. But we're not talking about one of the beginnings here. We're talking about the beginning. We're talking about when nothing else existed. Only God himself. Only God existed. We're talking about a period of eternity when only God existed. This is before angels. This is before spirits. This is before any of the material universe has been brought into existence, when only God existed. In this map here that we use, God's plan of the ages, here is eternity. We're talking about way back yonder. Way, way back in eternity. We have eternity future and eternity past. I would like to ask God how long that was that he began these decrees. How long ago? When did this happen? What period of time and eternity was this? I know it was when only God existed, but we are so limited by space and time, we can't understand anything beyond hours, minutes, and seconds, and days, and months, and years, and millennia, lustrums, whatever. We look at time, even eternity, in just, we put it in a box. This is beyond the box. This is outside of all understanding, all human understanding. You can't find human explanations for everything you find in the statements that we are about to think about, the decrees of God. The idea of eternity past, when only God existed, is just a little more than what we can fathom. Is it? You think you can think back that far, Brother Roger? Forget it. Marilyn, this is beyond calculation. This is beyond the number of stitches.
I think it's something that we may find out later, but we don't know what it is. It's another element.
It's in another dimension.
Yeah.
Another dimension. Chapter 10. We're studying the book, Lectures in Systematic Theology by Thiessen. And the writer begins, "We have thus far been occupied with the study of the person of God. We come next logically to consider the purposes of God, God's eternal purpose and his unpreventable progress." Write this down. I want you to remember that I have repeated this million times maybe in the last 48 years. Actually I've been in the ministry 48 years. That sounds really long time. 48 years. I don't know whether I'm going to make it 50 or not. We'll find out. The last 48 years I've said God's eternal purpose innumerable times and God's unpreventable progress. God's eternal purpose and unpreventable progress. We have thus far occupied with the study of the person of God. Next, we go to the purposes of God. In these we find the decrees. The decrees. What is a decree? What is a decree? It is a law.
God's God.
Law. It's law. A decree is a law. Here, however, we come to the most mooted question in theology, particularly insofar as the decrees are related to the fact of evil and the salvation of men. Human reason alone cannot solve the problem. We can't figure it out by reason. We must look diligently into the scriptures to determine what they have to say about this subject. The present doctrine calls for the discussion of the definition of the decrees. Now, the definition of the decrees. The proof of the decrees. The basis of the decrees. The end of the decrees. And the content and order of the decrees. Remember, we studied. And let's go back and look at that again. We're talking about different views of the decrees of God. Let's go back. Roger, I think that you're learning a lot from the decrees of God, even though you haven't said it in all my classes. Sharon, you pretty much have. I went deeper into the decrees of God and Calvinism and election this last year than I have ever done in my life before because my students were ready for it. And the church that I pastor needed to be educated on this fact. The supralapsarians are the antilapsarians. Their idea of the decrees of God is that God decreed to elect some and reprobate others. That's the first decree ever made. Okay, we're going to see how, as we study this, how these line up. Number two, the second decree is to create man. The first decree was to elect some and reprobate the others. In other words, to create the elect and create the what? The reprobate. Number three, to permit the fall, and actually to necessitate the fall. Number four, to procure salvation for the elect through the atonement. We're going to go into all this in this decrees. Number five, to regenerate the elect by the irresistible work of the Holy Spirit, which we found out last week. Can the Holy Spirit be grieved? Can the Holy Spirit be pushed back? Yes. That's the person of the Holy Spirit. One of the attributes of the Holy Spirit is he can be grieved and he can be resisted. Number two, the infralapsarians. In the decrees of God now. The moderate Calvinists are infralapsarians believe, number one, that God decreed to create man. Okay? Number two, that God decreed to permit the fall of man and to necessitate the fall of man. Number three, the elect some to eternal life, the decree to elect some eternal life, number three decree. This is in for life's earnings. Number four, to procure salvation for the elect through the atonement. That's the fourth decree of an infralapsarian. Number five decree, to regenerate the elect by an irresistible work of the Holy Spirit. Again, irresistible grace. Total hereditary depravity, unconditional election, limited atonement, irresistible grace, preservation of the saints. These five decrees of Tulip. Decrees. Decrees, that's what we're talking about. You glad you come to this class? Yes.
I don't get how we know, or theologians. I mean, they're kind of going back and piecing this out and making this up. You know?
But some theology is made up.
I mean, we don't know what God decreed or when he...
We're going to go try to figure it out.
I know, but this is figuring it out. But like you know, in the Ten Commandments, we know what they are. They're very clear.
Mm-hmm.
But this is all... Well,
there's a lot more...
This would have been that, but we're figuring out by using human logic, so how do we really know?
We're going to go look and see what the Bible says compared to these theologies. Okay. That's how you really figure it out. Now, we're talking about decrees. The decrees. Or I wish Ray was here today. He'd like this class. Sublapsarians, that is, the decree to create man. Their idea is the decree that God made a decree to create man. The decree to permit the fall of man. The decree to provide salvation price for all. This is what we call unlimited atonement. Number four, the elect some to eternal life through faith. To elect some through eternal life through faith. Some through faith. In other words, some would have the gift of faith. Number five, to convict the world of sin. And number six, again, to regenerate the elect by irresistible work of the Holy Spirit. Again, as we studied the Holy Spirit can be resisted. So that throws this out. We have already learned that. Okay, that's what we've learned. Number four, what people call Amaraldian or modified Salmurian or modified Sublapsarians. The decree to create man. The decree to permit the fall of man. The decree to provide ransom price for all. Did that happen or not?
Yes.
All of these three. Can we disagree with these from what knowledge we have of Scripture? Absolutely not. Number four, to elect those foreknown to believe. We have no problem with the foreknowledge of God, do we? The omniscience of God. All right, number five, to convict the world of sin. That's what we've studied in the Bible, isn't it? These are decrees now. God did this when? In eternity past, when only God existed. And number six, to regenerate those who believe. Do we have any problem with that? That decree. Okay. Now we can go on with these other people that believe in this, the lesser, what we call the mix of grace and works. Mixture of grace and works. Let's go into the Lutheran idea. The moderate Arminian idea. Now we have Arminian and Calvinist that believe in the decrees of God. And we're talking about the decrees of God now. This is the subject. The Lutheran are the modern Arminian. Moderate Arminians are Lutherans. The decree to provide ransom for all mankind. A decree to give all men the means of salvation and moral ability. What just happened here? Moral ability. Moral ability. That men could have the moral ability to achieve salvation.
We
don't. So we have a mixture of grace and works. Number, to elect those foreknown to believe and to persevere. There's nothing wrong with that statement. To elect those foreknown to believe and persevere, that means hold out faithful to the end. Hold out faithful to the end. Yes, we disagree. We don't hold out faithful to the end, do we? We do not hold out faithful to the end, do we?
What you're saying, it all goes back to a single person's volition.
Yeah, but we're not talking about volition now. We're talking about a mixture of grace and works. Mm-hmm. We're talking about a mixture of the ability to persevere, the ability to be morally sound. Without grace.
Yeah, no.
No. Okay. That's now the Wesleyan. Now we talk about the Arminian idea, Jacobus Arminius. The idea of decrees of God. We're talking about these theological evolutions of mankind here. And they are all based upon what they believe about the decrees of God. God did not create man morally upright after the fall, did he? Are we morally upright after the fall?
No, we fell.
We fell. What's wrong with some of this other thinking that man is still have a moral ability to believe? For in grace you're having been saved, Ephesians 2 and 8, from the original Greek. This is what we call a Jim Phillips free translation, okay? For in grace you're having been saved through faith, and that is not out of you. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are created unto good works. God gives us ability to do good works and to regenerate it after we're saved. That's the working of the Holy Spirit in our lives, but we still resist the Holy Spirit then. Did Lot resist the Holy Spirit? Huh? Did he? Did Paul resist the Holy Spirit at times? How about John Mark? How about Peter? Is the Holy Spirit resisted? You read the Bible, you do. To create man, to permit the fall of man, to remit guilt of the original sin of all men through Christ, that means baptism. You're baptized for the remission of the original Adamic sin. Number four, to elect those foreknown to believe and persevere. To elect those foreknown that will believe but will have to persevere, in other words. Do you see the difference in these ideological things about the decrees of God? Now, you can listen to this message again and again and again and again and learn from it. Okay? This one's going to be a learning process. There's a time element in learning. What I've just said today, you will study the rest of your life. Simple as that. If I ever preach a message that will be a time element in learning, it is the message that I have begun today on the decrees of God. The definition of decrees. The definition. Now, we just looked how people look at the decrees of God, didn't we? This is how they interpret the decrees of God. Now we're going to go see how the decrees of God really line up with how we should think, regardless of where we're supralapsarian, antilapsarian, infralapsarian, sublapsarian, or an Arminian, which I believe is heresy. Period. Most of the difficulties concerning the decrees disappear with proper apprehension of the nature of the decrees. The nature of decrees. That's what we were just talking about. That's where people get mixed up. They are not, as some erroneously supposed, inconsistent with the free agency. They're not inconsistent with the volition of mankind. They do not take away all the motives for human exertion. They do not make God the author of sin. But according to some of the decrees, he necessitated the fall. He created the reprobate. Did he or did he not? Did he create the reprobate? No. But some decreed, they believe that he decreed that he did. He did not create them reprobate. He did not create the reprobate because that is sin. He does not make anything. The idea of that God created a chaos and brought out of chaos order is contrary to the decrees and person of God. You go back in Genesis in the original language and you have no problem with that because it doesn't say that. But many people believe it, especially today. This will become evident in the course of discussion of the present chapter. Indeed, it will already become somewhat clear from a proper definition of the word decrees. We believe that the decrees of God are God's eternal purpose and unpreventable progress. Now, I'm throwing some parenthetical statements in here also. We believe that the decrees of God are His eternal purpose. In a real sense, all things are embraced in one purpose. Our purpose is based on His most wise and holy counsel, whereby He freely and unchangeably, for His own glory, ordained either efficaciously or permissively all that comes to pass. Did you hear what I just said? For His own glory ordained either efficaciously or permissively all that comes to pass. Let us analyze this definition briefly to determine just what it says. First of all, the decrees of God's eternal purpose. The decrees of God's eternal purpose. As you've got a chart like this, this really helps things. God in eternity past decreed all of this. He decreed that this would happen. Why did He allow the perfect thing that He created, which was Lucifer, to sin? And all of the fallen angels with him and all the fallen spirits. Because we could not see how they had volition if He did not allow that to happen. How could somebody worship God if He was necessitated to do that and had no volition? How could God receive glory from human beings if God made you the way you are? I'm glad that God made me the way I am. That God called me in eternity past, and in space and time, He made me respond to His will. What is wrong with that? That's absolute heresy, isn't it? God didn't make you do anything. That's supralapsarian. That's infralapsarian. First of all, the decrees of God's eternal purpose, He does not make His plans or alter them as human history develops. He does not change or alter them as human history develops because He knew exactly what would happen in human history. He made them in eternity and they remain unaltered. That's hard for us to understand. The intricateness of this is hard to understand. The decree of it is not hard to understand. The intricate different tapestry of all of it is hard to understand.
Got a question.
Yes.
If everything has been decreed and laid out and God knows everything, well, why do we pray? Why do we ask for things? Why do we ask for intercession? Why do we, or He already knew that we would, so that's part of it? Yes.
We live in space and time.
Yeah.
In our frailty. Yes, God knows what we're going to do before we do it. He knows our weaknesses. And He allows Satan to tempt us, doesn't He? Does He or not?
Yeah.
Read the book of Job once a year. Might not be too bad to read it once a month. Okay? We are fragile beings. Even saved, we are fragile. Look at the fragile Job. Look at the fragile Job. We are subject to delusions. We are subject to senile when we get older. We're subject to forgetfulness. We're subject to insomnia. We're subject to temptation. We're subject to Alzheimer's. Some of the greatest minds I knew in my life succumbed to Alzheimer's. It's pitiful. Pitiful. It's good to die young. sometimes. It's a good thing to die young. The American Indian, the Lakota people, say this is a good day to die. Wake up. Thank God for the day you have. This is a good day to die. This is a good day to die. I remember in a movie one time, which brought out so much of the Lakota culture, Little Big Man.
Oh, I love that movie.
Old Dan George. Well, what an actor he was in that movie. Boy, he played it to the hilt. He believed, and he saw Custer attack his village, scatter his people, and he didn't think he had anything else to live for at all, period. And he got all his good stuff together, and he was getting senile too. He was getting senile, had dementia. He went out there on the side of a hill by where they buried the holy burial ground that he had buried the ancestors in. He went out there and took his robes and everything and sat there and prayed for God to take him home. And he sat there and he sat there and he laid there and he laid there and laid there and rained on him and everything else. Finally he said, well, I guess the magic's not going to take place. Not time for me to go home. God's got one more thing for me to do. Boy, I felt like that a lot of times in my life. His decrees are based on his most wise and holy counsel. He is omniscient, so he knows what is best. He is absolutely whole, and so he cannot purpose anything that is wrong. Thirdly, the decrees originate in God's freedom to do what he's going to do. God is sovereign, isn't he? But God is not arbitrary in his sovereignty. I want you to understand that. Now, some people would say he's a heretic when he said that. He's not arbitrary. When I say that God is not arbitrary, he does not take into account the lack of volition that every man has. The lack of volition that every angel and spirit has. He decrees, all right. But he decrees with foreknowledge and with the gift of volition. God created man in his sovereign image, so man is sovereign too. He can choose or he cannot choose. We serve God or we do not. We believe or we do not believe. That's totally up to us, isn't it? By the conviction of the Holy Spirit, we cannot come to God unless God calls us. But it says he calls all men. I'll never forget the girl that called me on the phone. That heard me preach on the internet. She called me from Texas. She was in tears. She called the church and was desperate to find out who I was and if she could talk to me. She was a pastor's wife. She had been faithful in church all of her life. And she had the conviction of the Holy Spirit that she was going to hell, rightly so. She called me on the phone. She said, I believe I'm damned and I believe I'm beyond the point of redemption. And I am wholly, wholly, wholly in torment. I just am terrible. I've heard the gospel preached all my life and I have rejected God. All of these years. I've been a church member. I've been a Sunday school teacher. I'm a pastor's wife. I am faithful in church. And every time I ask my husband, my pastor, they say I'm okay. And I'm not okay. I just don't feel okay. And I said, okay. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Absolutely, yes. I said, have you ever asked God personally to forgive you of your sins and save your soul? And she said, no. I said, well, you are in trouble. Now, she said, do you think I waited too long? Do you think I resisted the Spirit of God too long? She had some false teaching. I said, are you worried about it right now? Are you convicted that you're going to hell? And she said, yes, of course. That's why I'm called you. How hard was it for you to get a hold of me? Well, not easy. I called Sermon Audio, and they told me out here in California, and I called that church, and they didn't want to give me your number, and I just begged them to give me your number. I said, all right, now you're talking to me. And she said, I'm sorry I'm taking up your time. I said, no. I'm glad you called me. I said, now, so the Holy Spirit is convicting you of sin and that you're going to go to hell. She said, absolutely. I said, do you want to go to hell? And she said, no. I said, well, what do you have to do to be saved? And she said, I have to be convicted and ask God to save me. I said, do you want to ask God to save you right now? And she said, will he forgive me? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Do you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ died, was buried, raised, and resurrected? You believe that? She said, yes. I said, then pray. You pray and ask God to forgive you. And she did. She was happy. Wrong teaching. Wrong teaching. Wrong order of decrees. Oh, yes, she's saved today. She was so happy. I'm glad she came into my life. She's not the only one. There's a lot of people out there that wrote me emails and things about salvation. They listened to these messages on the internet and they said, I never knew what salvation was until I heard you. And I asked the Lord to save my soul, forgive me of my sins, and I'm happy. I'm forgiven. The decrees are laid out wrongly. You don't have, there's not a part of grace and part of works. It's all grace. All a work of the Holy Spirit. But you can resist him. Thirdly, the decrees originate in God's freedom, and he is not obligated to purpose anything ad extra, as the pantheist suppose, but purposes unconstrainedly, if he purposes at all. The only necessity laid upon him in this respect is a necessity that comes from his own attributes and character as a wise and holy God. God will never decree anything that's contrary to his nature. God is love. John said that. But God is just. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever shall call upon him shall be saved. Now the hyper-Calvinists will say that whosoever is only the elect. They believe in that decree of God, that he agreed to elect some and damn the others. That's a wrong decree. The attributes and character as a wise and holy God, we therefore can know only by special revelation from God whether or not he has purposed anything ad extra. And if he has, what it is that he has purposed. Remember, how did God reveal himself? Three ways God has revealed himself.
Nature.
What?
Nature.
Through the creation.
Intuition.
Through intuition of man.
And special revelation.
And special revelation. So what special revelation do we have? What is a special revelation? It's a prophecy, or literally the Word of God. The Word of God. Fourthly, the decrees have as their end the glory of God. They do not primarily aim at the happiness of the creature, nor at the perfecting of the saints. I don't think I'll ever get perfected until God whips me up. Although both these things are included in his aims, but in the glory of him who is absolutely perfection, fifthly, that they are two kinds of decrees, efficacious and permissive. Efficacious decrees and permissive. By the way, I want to tell you something. God decreed to elect to procure the atonement for all mankind, not limited atonement. But it is only efficacious to the elect, to those that believe. No one will go to hell because Jesus Christ died for them without them repenting and calling upon him to save their soul. As the universalists say, there is the wrong kind of decrees in the universalism. That God wouldn't send anybody to hell. Even Mormonism, nobody really goes to hell in Mormonism. Nobody goes to hell in Jehovah's Witness. Nobody goes to hell in the Seventh-day Adventism. The decrees are wrong. They got it wrong. That's why they believe wrong. You understand this? They got the decrees of God wrong. There are things which God purposes that he also determines efficaciously to bring about, and there are other things which he merely determines to permit, to allow. It will be shown later, however, that even in the case of the permissive decrees, he overrules all for his own glory. And finally, the decrees embrace all that comes to pass. They include all the past, the present, and the future. They embrace all the things which he efficaciously brings about and the things which he merely allows or permits. Surely this conception of the decrees removes most of the difficulties that are often associated with them. God is sovereign. The people that believe that mankind is elected to salvation and you have no ability at all to respond unless God has made you the elect. There's something wrong with that in the decrees of God. It doesn't mesh with the rest of God's personality and person and attributes. The second Roman numeral number 2 of the proof of the decrees. We're going to prove these decrees. Prove it. That the events in the universe are neither surprise nor disappointment to God, nor the result of his caprice or arbitrary will. That's what I just said a while ago, isn't it? Capricious or arbitrary will. He's not just mean. He didn't create hell to put people in. He didn't create hell to put people in. He created hell because people would go there. They would go there. False religion has done a real good job of electing a lot of them to not salvation, but damnation. But the outworking of a divine purpose, sovereignty, the plan of God, is the teaching of Scripture. Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely, as I thought, so shall it come to pass, and as I have purposed, so shall it stand. We're going to be reading some real definite things about what God says about his creation and his eternal purpose. And all these scriptures do not go contrary to your volition, nor angels' volition, nor spirits' volitions, or even the volition of animals, as we have learned from the Bible. This is the purpose that he is purposed upon the whole earth. And this is the hand that is stretched out upon all the nations. For Jehovah Sabaoth hath purposed, who shall annul it? And his hand is stretched out, and who shall turn it back? Isaiah 14:24, 26 and 27. Making known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his great pleasure, which he purposed in himself, in whom also we were made a heritage, having been foreordained according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Ephesians 1:9, 11 and 3:11. That's some pretty strong statements in it. Those statements cannot be erased, whitewashed, go into faded annility. They don't fade out. These are absolute decrees and statements of God. How do they fulfill and how do they work in space and time? Parting quotes A.J. Gordon as saying, a universe without decrees, listen to this, this is real good. A universe without decrees would be as irrational and appalling as it would have a freight train driving on in the darkness without headlight or engineer, with no certainty that the next moment it would not plunge into an abyss. Wow, what a statement. A world without decrees would be a wild world. The decrees are sometimes represented in one decree. Called according to his purpose, Romans 8:28. Those that are called according to his purpose. Having been foreordained according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, Ephesians 1:11. In each case, it is one purpose. One purpose. Though to us the decrees appear to be many, many purposes. And the divine mind, there are reality but one great all-inclusive purpose. That is why we can speak of a universe, rather than a multiverse. Yes or no? We speak of a universe. That means one universe, a universe, a cosmos, rather than helter-skelter. God does not create disorder, does he? He does not create chaos. He creates order. Man causes chaos. Angels called chaos. Fallen spirits, demons called chaos. God calls order. God has worked with man in many different ways. He worked with Adam. He worked with Noah. He worked with Abraham. He worked with Moses. He works with Peter and Paul and James and Luke and Matthew and Mark and John and Sharon and Marilyn and Roger and me. He works with all of us. He works upon all of us. They're always represented as eternal, according to eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, Ephesians 3:11. Foreknown indeed before the foundation of the world, but manifested at the end of times, 1 Peter 1:20. The Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, Revelation 13:8. And those and whose name has not been written in the from the foundation of the world in the book of the Lamb that had been slain, Revelation 13:8. Even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, Ephesians 1:4. According to his own decree and purpose and grace, which he has given to us in Christ Jesus before times eternal. 2 Timothy 1:9. And in the hope of eternal life which God, who cannot lie, promised before times eternal. Titus 1:2. This is beautiful stuff, isn't it? The decrees of God. Shed says, the things that decreed come to pass in time and in a succession of series, but they constitute one great system, which is as one whole, and a unity was comprehended in one eternal purpose of God. We see what God told Abraham was valid. What God told Moses was valid. And yet people, because of their idea and perversion of the decrees of God, they have Seventh-day Adventurism. We have Judaism. We have many false doctrines in the world. We have Gnostics. We have all these problems because they don't understand the decrees of God. The Gnostics, what is wrong with Gnosticism? They don't decree that God did not die on the cross of Calvary, that Jesus was not God, that Jesus was not a literal being. But according to the Word of God and decrees of God, God chose to redeem the world back to himself through his Son, the eternal Son, by the blood and by the suffering that he would shed on the cross of Calvary. If you don't understand that decree, you've got nothing left. You don't have salvation. People have a mixture of grace and works because of the decrees of God, don't they? We just uncovered that little worm today. We chased that snake out of the grass today. The problem with false religion is the decrees of God. We studied the decrees, didn't we? We read what they believed. Do you help God save you? Do you repent of your sins when God's Spirit calls you? Can you resist it? Can you resist it? Can you resist it? Can the Holy Spirit be resisted? Yes. Can you sin once you've been saved? Can you be happy in sin? Well, that's where we're going to quit today. Do you have any questions? We started on page 147, we went through 149. Are you beginning to understand the decrees of God and God's eternal purpose a little better?
I'm beginning to understand why they're important and why one little change changes everything.
One little idea changes everything. One perverted idea changes everything. People go astray and they go to seed on things, don't they? They have a hobby horse. A hobby horse, what they ride to ride. Dakota had a hobby horse a long time ago. It's out there in the storage bin. It's called a Wonder Work horse. It had springs on it. She wore those springs out and had to replace the springs. She'd go out there and just bounce around on this thing, and she wanted to ride that thing every day. And then I got Peanut for her, her little white pony. And I tell you what, she put that pony through the paces. She tied it up with strings and feathers in its hair and painted her and did all kinds of things to her. At Christmas time, she would put little horns on her for Rudolph and paint her little nose red. Lay out there in this lawn right out here and tie her up and go to sleep and take a nap underneath that horse. Horse worth $1 million. The greatest horse. It had volition, and I watched that horse with volition too. I watched that horse worry over the other animals out on this farm and how she loved them, how she cared for them, and how they played together between species, how they loved. And I saw the decrees of God come to pass in that. I learned a lot of things watching those animals. Love each other. They loved each other. Sometimes they didn't get mad at each other. Cutie the goat. Peanut the pony. Ducky the duck. And Wucky the duck. Mm-hmm. And Wilbur the pig. And Bobby and Stilts. And Puff, the blackbird. Boy, what a rich arrangement God has established before us to look and see what He has created. Many times we make less of His creation than it is. Make less of it. We, what we call, simplify the creation. And the creation has intricate decrees that mankind is still learning. We haven't discovered everything that God has created yet. Adam knew it. We don't. We're still uncovering what Adam knew. Any other questions before we turn you loose on the world? Did you learn something today? Was it worth the time? Was it? Did it answer your unanswered questions? Do you understand what you believe a little better now and why you believe it? You believe in the degrees of God today, the degrees? It's more than Fahrenheit or Celsius. These are laws of creation in eternity past. Sharon, would you dismiss us in prayer?